Jesus is now in Jerusalem, and he's confronting the rulers. Now, this, we're sure of everything but the chronology, because, as I pointed out, for the synoptics, Jesus only makes one trip to Jerusalem. So all the confrontation, whatever took place, has to be recorded in the occasion of this one literary visit. John tells us more likely that there were three visits because there were three Passovers. The synoptics put it this way because it's a journey to the cross. This story is alluding to a famous theme very often found in the Old Testament. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat. He expected to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. What shall my beloved do with this vineyard? Because it's Israel, right? Nobody listening to this would miss it. You know, it's the story of the prophet sent to Israel. But now, I'll send my son. And then he applies this text of Psalm 118. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. There was a broad application of this to David. The word for builders is bonim, and the word for sons is benim. And so they said, don't read bonim, read benim. Meaning that the sons of Jesse were not, it was just David who was selected. So he's warning them from the beginning. Now the son has come. Now there are unlikely things going on in this parable. Do you think after they beat up one, he'd send another? I mean, he'd send an army. He'd send. But you see, you say, well, that's not very rational, maybe. But how many times has God done this? Sent. Even to us, Mother Teresa, you know, Padre Pio, John the 23rd, John Paul II. They're not supposed to be isolated figures passing the scene while the rest of us do our thing. They are sent by God to call us to holiness. That's why they're sent. And so it's not right to say, oh, well, he was great, you know. Our Lord finds fault with that, if you know. You have these splendid tombs to the prophets, you know, that's going to come up soon. They killed them and you built the tombs, but none of you paid any attention to them. I want to return to that other notion that I started. Another will suffer in me. John Paul II, writing about the founder of an order, spoke, as he has very often, or had very often, at the new millennium. Even in the encyclical Novo Millennio in Aeunte. He's a mystic, John Paul II. I mean, this is somebody to whom Our Lady came about once a week to help him, guide him, console him. But he's also an identified mystic, you know, they're identified with Christ. And what has been happening, and now this new millennium, there's a book called The New and Divine Holiness, which is analyzing this. There's a deeper awareness that our Lord is living his life in us and that he wants to take over completely. We have good examples of that, more than you think, starting with John of the Cross. But could you not do that? Just wait a minute. Thanks. It's distracting when I look up and I see you doing that. It's something we have to take seriously. Like, he spoke about this new era, and we all took it to be rhetoric, you know, of course, new era, new century, ring the bells, and go on with life. And that's not what he meant. He meant in God's providence, something new is being given and worked in the church. And it's the potential that is already there. It says in De Verbum, which is the document from Vatican II on Revelation and Scripture, it says at one point that the apostolic preaching grows. And it says it grows in three ways. First, through the meditation and reflection of the believers who ponder these things in their hearts. Secondly, through the insights of those who by experience have come to understand these things. And third, by the preaching of those who by the grace of the episcopacy have the grace of preaching. They're not excluded from being part of the other two. Now, if you look, you see what happens. The mystics deepen the teaching of the scriptures. They don't change it. But the church in the bishops follows them. We have examples, the Mercy Sunday, or the Feast of the Sacred Heart, where the mystics understood the mercy, and the church followed them in the preaching of the bishops. Now, since this millennium has begun, there is this grace being offered, made more conscious, would be a better way to put it, of being so identified with Jesus that he lives in us, he suffers in us, and we are identified with especially his interior sufferings. That's the holiness. And you find it realized once you're alerted to it. You see it all over the place in the saints. But in our own day, you see it in most outstandingly perhaps in Conchita, but Dina Bellanger, there are many who speak about being so absorbed into Christ. And how Mary was, this happened to Mary, of course, and so that she did really suffer all the sufferings of Christ. The key to this, you know, we're still wrestling with mediatrix of all graces, you see. And we do that on our imagination. Here's Jesus, here's Mary, and here's us. And we're saying, we got to go through her to get to Jesus. No. I live, now not I. Christ lives in me. That's what Mary says. It's Christ in Mary conferring these graces. But they go through Mary because she's the one who has most fully lived the life of the Word of God incarnate. I was riding in the car, driving in the car one day, pondering. And this text, I live now, not I, Christ lives in me. And I said, that's the answer to this question of, is already mediatrix of all graces? Of course. And this is an important doctrine. But it's not that places her between us and Christ. It's that it places her as there, the place in which Christ lives and acts most abundantly. All right, that's that. We'll stop now. But it's seeking holiness. And one of the most amazing things is, except for one cleric, the Archbishop of in Mexico City, I think, of the last 20th century, all the others are lay people. And most of them are women in this new and divine holiness. We don't have a lot of time to give our lives over to the Lord this way. Yeah. And they all speak about suffering. But what it's hard to mediate is the love that is given, that provides an incredible joy even in this suffering. All right. For the grace to enter each in our own way into this new and divine holiness, let us pray to the Lord.